This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thanks for staying with us. One metric which is basically very interesting is the fact that CPO Futures is now trading at just a shade over 41 ringgit per metric ton, which is obviously very interesting for producers like Malaysia. And I think between us and Indonesia, we have a stranglehold on the global CPO market.
They are number one, we are number two in terms of global supply.
We used to be number one, then they overtook us.
Well, they're a far bigger country, to be fair. But like you say, you know, CPO now hitting 4,018 per ton ringgit-wise. So prices have been on an uptrend over the last year. On a year-to-date basis, it's up already 23%, contributing to this commodity super cycle narrative that we keep hearing. But what's really driving CPO prices and is this rally sustainable?
So to find out, we talked to Elvin Tai, the soft commodity analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Elvin, what's really driving the prices here?
Hi, good morning, everybody. So I think the sliding inventory due to poor production last year has helped to continue to fuel the rally. Well, this run-up really started in 2019 when inventory started to come off. And by fourth quarter 2019, when it was obvious that, you know, inventory couldn't recover, prices started to move. But also in the last couple of weeks, you know, the other oils like sun oil and rapeseed oil have staged even stronger rallies. So those the rallies in the other oil have also helped to lift palm oil prices further.
Right. So are these prices sustainable then in view of these rallies, especially with supply substitute oils expected to increase?
There will be increase in palm oil production this year, being the second year after the 2019 drought. The 2019 drought was what hit 2020 production and got the prices moving. Well, that said, that even in the second year of recovery from drought, production will still be very erratic and it won't be 100% back to normal. So we will see soybean oil supply increase with the recovery in China's hog population as soybean crushing activity increases. I think one very important factor to watch out for is also, you know, the potential peak in palm oil production. That, I think, is very, very near. It could even happen, this year. So when palm oil prices plateau, you know, that sets a base for prices to remain very strong. I think we should also be watching out for potential threat to the upcoming U.S. planting season. Well, if you recall, we saw unusual snow in Texas recently. There has been a lot of news coverage on that. That is actually a sign of potential threat to the U.S. crops this year. We actually saw very similar polar vortex disruption only in 2019. Whereby, you know, the cold blast from the Arctic froze lakes and rivers, and subsequent to that, when weather got warmer, temperature rose, ice melt, it caused flooding in the U.S. Midwest.
So, Elvin, with all that in mind, what are your expectations for CPO prices in 2021? What is your average?
I believe, based on where we are, you know, for the first 3 months of this year, prices should top 3,000 ringgit for the first time in 10 years. Of course, 4,000 might seem like a big number, but I think we also need to consider the currency factor. No doubt, we have taken out the 4,000 ringgit peak, which we last saw in 2011. But in US dollar term, we are only at $986. And 2011 peak was 1,280, and we still have more than 20% to go. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, the impending peak in palm oil price, palm oil production will keep palm oil price at a very strong levels.
Elvin, what's your view of margins? Obviously, efficiency is not linear across the board where planters in Malaysia are concerned. Have margins been able to keep buoyant in terms of being given that safety margin for planters here?
You're talking about production margin.
Production costs, yeah.
Yes, I think prices of fertilizers have started to creep up. I think costs of production for most planters have been fairly steady given, you know, the weaker crude oil price over the past 12 months or so. That said, I think for the Malaysian planters, one particular challenge is harvester shortage. Well, so that is something that will be the main thing, main threat to margin, if any, for the Malaysian planters. I think the Indonesian guys, I think they are pretty well supplied with labor.
Yeah, that could be there could be a read across from what you just said and the dichotomy between CPO prices up 20% this year. And just, I think, 1.5% down from Malaysia's Bursa's plantation index. What's driving this dichotomy, Alvin?
That's a very good question. Actually, it's not just a Bursa phenomenon. Plantation stocks, you know, in other exchanges are also not reflecting the kind of palm oil price that we are seeing. Why is this the case? Nobody knows for sure. But the sector isn't drawing interest like it used to. Right. So with the higher earnings and stock prices staying relatively stagnant, the plantation sector is effectively going through a price multiple compression. I think, well, you know, in the past couple of years, we have issues like, you know, environment issue, deteriorating growth prospects, but it could be, you know, some of the potential factors causing this. We also have seen, you know, in the past many years, a lot of exit from the sector by foreign funds. I doubt they are coming back anytime soon.
So what are your stock picks?
In terms of earnings, I think this is a rising tide that lifts all boats. But I like, from earnings perspective, I like First Resources. It's one of the most efficient planter, lowest cost producer, which means, you know, the higher prices will translate into, you know, will go straight to the bottom line the most.
But that's listed in Singapore, right? So do you have any Malaysian favorites?
Yes, actually, you'd be surprised. There are some hidden values among the Malaysian names. If you see our report today, if you can go to BI Space Agri on your Bloomberg terminal, we talked about how the upcoming rapid transit system connecting Singapore with Johor Bahru could benefit planters such as Genting Plantations, KLK and Sime Plantation. Specifically on Genting Plantation, ringgit rise in land value in the greater JB area will translate into land value gain of about 248 million ringgit. And if we extract that Kulai Estate value from the enterprise value, their EV over EBITDA valuation falls from 16 times to just 5 times. So that's a lot of you know, value in the land that they hold there.
Okay, Alvin.
Given that, yeah.
Sorry, I'm afraid we've run out of time. Thank you for talking to us. That was Alvin Tai, the soft commodity analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. I just want a quick observation in terms of why Malaysia's planters haven't been getting as much love as our CPO prices in general, given that there's only really two players in the world, and that's us and the Indonesians. I wonder how much of this has to do with the Malaysian malaise, where foreign investors tend to shun Malaysia because of all the challenges in this country.
I think it's also the rise of ESG investing. And, you know, a lot of plantation companies have faced headwinds in that department, right? So definitely, and valuations have never really been cheap. If you look at the Bloomberg, right, you're still trading for Malaysian planters. Some of the big names like KLK, IOI, is still trading at quite expensive valuations. So it never really came down, to be fair, CPO planters, their share prices, but it never really went up either.
He did allude to one difference, which was labour supply, where Indonesia actually has a bit more of uninterrupted labour supply, unlike Malaysia.
But very quickly, Felda has failed in its bid to take FGV private, and that was announced at 1 ringgit 30 cents. It only obtained 81% equity interest. It may go to Bursa to extend this offer, though.
And that could be one of the reasons why they're up by well over 10% this morning. We'll come back after this with the news, and then, of course, the BBC World Service with lab-grown meat, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.